Shilling and Sixpence Investigate, Episode 3, In the Silent Dead of Night, by Nigel Fairs, starring Celia Imrie as Lavinia Sixpence and David Warner as Desmond Shilling.
Wanted to go to one of them, but, well, I've never quite had the nerve.
I wouldn't bother if I were you.
Why? Did it go terribly wrong?
You could say that.
Ooh, do tell.
I feel like I haven't stopped talking since we left Cornwall.
You haven't? Go on.
Well, I had a feeling things might not be quite right when we got the boat across to the island.
It were on an island? This gets better and better.
Lavinia was having none of it, of course.
Stuff and nonsense, Desmond. Thank you, Mr. Britton.
How's it going?
Rose Petal. Interesting name for a boat. Oh, hello, Stephen. Don't you look dapper out of your uniform?
Thank you, Miss Sixpence.
I didn't think this sort of business was your cup of tea.
Oh, it isn't. I'm here with a friend.
Really? I must say, I'm surprised that your inspector has let you have the evening off with all that body business.
What body business?
Someone waltzed into the mortuary in the middle of the night and walked off with a corpse.
Well, that's not supposed to be public knowledge.
Tell that to Sheila Swift down at the post office.
Whose body was it?
Graham Potter, the greengrocer.
Chap with the squint? Died of a heart attack in the middle of a sermon down at St. Mary's?
That's the fella.
Never heard of him.
You know, we can't wait around all day for your woman.
Oh, she is a bit late.
Of course she is. She's French. They live their lives entirely according to their own timetable.
How did you know...
Eyes in the back of her head, Sergeant. Eyes in the back of her head.
I didn't need them, but the sparks that were sizzling between you two at Boothby Hall back in February, I'm surprised it took you this long to ask her out.
Oh, I didn't. She asked me.
Uh-huh. Very French.
We've got to go. There's a storm brewing down the coast.
I'm sure she'll be here any minute now.
Miss for me.
Here she is. We were just about to leave without you. Here.
I can manage. I'm sorry. Lady Penelope had lost her little puppy.
She got another one? Was that wise after the last two?
Florrie is a monster. We found her in the gamekeeper's cottage eating a pair of the cook's shoes.
Oh, dear. Didn't expect that'll go down very well. I gather Lady Penelope isn't joining us after all.
No, madame.
Probably none too keen to talk to anyone on the other side. Just at the moment.
It had been a pleasantly sunny June afternoon. But now the sun had lost its warmth and the air was positively chilly. It was only a short crossing to Pippin Island. As the Rose Petal left the mainland, a silence descended on us all. Whether it was the boatman's gruff indifference towards his passengers or thoughts of mortality brought on by the evening to come, I'm not sure. Lavinia Sixpence sat bolt upright at the bow, those piercing blue eyes of hers fixed on the horizon. You never have fancied the sergeant and Miss Jolly were fledgling sweethearts to look at them, though he seemed nervously attentive to start with. A slight flap of her hand shut him up, and they spent the rest of the journey gazing in opposite directions.
There it is, Pippin Lodge. Poor old thing. She's seen better times.
She certainly had. Nestled into a mass of tangled vegetation and trees, the house was blackened with age, its paintwork peeling, windows dark and unrevealing. One wing was little more than a shell, having fallen victim to fire. It hardly seemed possible that anyone could live there, let alone one of the three grand ladies of Mornington, as Lavinia described Baroness Pippin and Ladies Pogley and Pluck. An incongruously gleaming statue sat on a small building at the end of what must have once been a lawn, as if it were guarding the house against the ravages of the sea. Lavinia caught my eye and winked.
Yes. It is a pig.
A Pippin pig?
That is what the boys at the Erin and Lobster call Mamselle Harry.
Oh, do they indeed?
Here comes the Pippin pig with her airs and graces.
Yes, well, she always was a right little madam.
Who was?
Myrtle Harris, Baroness Pippin's housekeeper. I had the misfortune to go to school with her. You think that Mary Clench in 3B is a bully? She's at Kitten next to Myrtle Harris. Mind you, she's got the perfect job now. I can't think of anyone else who'd be able to keep the Baroness's feet on the ground.
Prone to flights of fancy, is she?
Head in the clouds. And if anything, she's got more fanciful since her husband died. This evening's nonsense is a prime example. Maybe Miss Harris is on holiday.
No, she is not.
Hold on. This bit's rough.
Oh, oh dear.
It's the current.
The last 100 feet of our journey were indeed rougher than the rest. So we were all quite glad to reach dry land. The boatman tied Rose Petal to a rotting wooden post at the end of a short pier, onto which we struck.
There you go.
Thank you.
And then he nodded towards a set of steep steps that rose from the other end of the pier, past a small stone cottage, and up to Pippin Lodge.
It's that way.
Thank you. It's been delightful.
Won't be crossing back today, because of the storm. Have to wait till the morning now.
What? I'm supposed to be on duty first thing.
Never mind, old chap. I'm sure the Baroness Pippin will let you use her telephone.
She won't. She hasn't got one.
Oh, really? Well, maybe we could send a carrier pigeon.
This is no laughing matter, Mr. Shillin. Inspector Cribbage will have my guts for garters if I'm late.
Send him to me. I'll put him in his place. Enthusiastic amateurs, indeed. Come along, then. Let's get going. I'm hoping that the old girl will have cracked open a bottle of sherry at the very least.
Harris! Sherry's for one and all, please. Pumpsy's maid will give you a hand.
Oh, will she?
Just a moment. Jacqueline isn't here
Don't
to...
Don't worry, mon cher.
I will do this.
Come along! Come along!
But she has no right to order you about. It's like Inspector Hammond used to say. She's got no respect for nobody, that one. Do you know, he said she sacked a maid once for being obtuse. Threw her out onto the street.
Shh, I do not mind, Stephen. Go and join your friends in the drawing room. Well, isn't this a hoot, everyone? Oh, such a shame that Pumpsy Pluck couldn't come, but Harris will be taking her place. Madam Casey says that it's frightfully important that we have the requisite number for the circle. Simu is quite specific about these things, you know.
Simu?
Simu Shah, Madam Casey's spirit guide. Oh, you should see her face when she gets possessed by him. It's a picture. I've never seen anything quite like it. She goes into a trance to begin with, you see, and then she leaves her body, which is what allows Simu to come in and talk through her. He's from India, I believe. Madam Casey says he's quite short and bald as a coot. Isn't that just the cat's pyjamas? And when she channeled Edward for the first time, Lavinia, dear, I don't mind telling you, it sent shivers up my spine. It was him, my dear. Her whole face changed. Her eyes. He was looking right back at me from the afterlife.
I'm sure he was, dear.
Now then, who you're all going to ask Madam Casey to contact? Have you lost, my dear?
Me? Oh.
Desmond is here as my witness to the event, Petunia.
Oh, really? Oh, Lavinia, do you mean...
No, I do not. Mr. Shilling is my head of English.
Oh, what a shame. One day your prince will come, my dear. Ugh. Oh, you never know. When I met Edward, I never for one moment suspected that he'd turn out to be the love of my life. In fact, if I'm honest, I thought he was a terrific boor. Now then, shall we all gather on the terrace? That merchant of Doom Griffin said there was going to be a thunderstorm, but if you ask me that stuff and nonsense, I do sort of adore the scent of magnolias. You must have a sniff.
Right, Petunia.
Of course I am, Lavinia. Why do you ask?
You seem a little animated.
I'm excited, my dear. Now, where did I put my cordial? Ah! I feel positively selfish having kept Matt and Casey quite to myself the past few days, but now I can share her with you all. We're going to do it in the smoking room. Harris has arranged the table. That delightful padauk that Edward brought back from India, remember? Madam Casey says it's perfect. I wanted to fill the room with candles, but Madam Casey was having none of it. Just one candle in the centre of the table and 7 chairs. No other furniture at all. We made the final preparations this afternoon, and then she forbade either of us to go into the room until strike of 6 o'clock. What time's it now? Oh, very nearly 2:15 already. She's virtually a cripple, you know.
It took her forever to climb the steps with her stick. By the time she'd reached the lodge, she was having to take a breather on every other step. It was almost comical. Oh, where is Harris with your sherries? He looked positively parched. Oh, she's barely talking to me, you know. Where is she? I'll go and find a silly woman.
Is she swacked, do you think?
My thoughts exactly.
Never touches a drop. She's quite religious about it, but I have to confess she is behaving rather oddly. What do you suppose this is? Was.
Well, it wasn't sherry. What do you think, Sergeant?
Oh, smells like boiled cabbage.
Here we are. A glass of sherry for everyone.
Not for me, thank you.
And some of Harris's delicious hors d'oeuvre to nibble on.
Monsieur? Not like that girl. Honestly, what does that Amsterdam woman think she's doing? Teaching you to serve food like you are on the dilly?
Jacqueline.
Serve it yourself.
Jacqueline!
Ridiculous girl. Oh, really, Harris? I don't know why you're being such a pill today. And we pray is my cauliflower cordial.
Jacqueline, what is it?
It's nothing.
You don't have to lie to me. Is it?
No. I told you that it was nothing.
I'd hardly call it nothing.
It was my father. Mrs. Harris, she asked me who I wanted the clairvoyant to contact, and when I told her, I miss him, Stephen. If I could speak to him just one more, that is all.
Are you absolutely sure this has nothing to do
with... How many times must I say it? No.
I'm not sure I believe you.
That is up to you.
If I ever find out who it was who did that to you, I'll knock his belly block off. You know that, don't you?
He was not entirely to blame. He thought he was entitled to... They think they rule the world. You are different from the other, mon cher. You are my knight in shining armour.
Ah, there you are. Apparently we're all required in the smoking room. The theatricality is about to begin.
Now then, my dears, when Madam Casey arrives, we're all to be perfectly quiet and nobody move a muscle. Isn't this thrilling?
Hardly.
Harris, you'll sit where Pumpkin's going to be on Madam Casey's left, and I shall sit here on her right. When she sits down, we're all to hold hands. Close the curtains, Harris. Is that drizzle? Ooh. Perhaps Griffin was right about a thunderstorm after all. Oh, won't that be deliciously dramatic? Right, now then, out with the lights. I will see to the candle.
By day, its voice is low and light, but in the silent dead of night...
Lavinia, shush now!
Sorry, dear. Couldn't help myself.
What is that? It's a boiler. It's a little temperamental. Harris, I hope you stoked it up with coal this afternoon.
Of course I did.
Oh, here she comes.
And so it began. Madam Casey hobbled in and cut an eccentric figure. She was dressed head to toe in black velvet, a dark lace veil trailing to the floor, a delicate necklace that appeared to represent two silver snakes wrapped around each other in an unholy alliance. Her face was plastered in thick, theatrical makeup, her lips full and red, her eyes dark, almost as black as night, beneath full, heavy lashes.
Oh,
We all held hands. The candlelight cast shadows that danced eerily on the walls around us. Madam Casey's delicate hands enveloped in blue velvet gloves were the last to join the circle, rings theatrically placed over the gloves. I found myself glancing around the room for hidden wires, wondering how she was going to pull them if they were there. With her tiny little feet, perhaps? Finally, she spoke.
Seymour Shah, are you there? We wait in attendance.
Oh, it's happened. She's left her body. Oh, that must be him.
I have got a man here, a stranger. He is not of your land.
He's from Devon.
Is he French, Simu? He could be here for you, my dear. Papa?
Jacqueline, is that you, my darling daughter? Oh, I have missed you.
I have missed you too, Papa.
Jacqueline, I have a message for you. An important message. It is about a man.
Papa, no.
He is not right for you, my sweet Jacqueline. You know this.
Just a minute.
Lavinia Sixpence, is that you?
Sarah Lavinia.
Sorry, yes, I'm here.
Lavinia Sixpence, as I live and breathe, I never thought I'd find you at one of these things, and there is no mistake.
Pinky Chesterfield?
Who did you think it were, Madam Muck?
I might have known you'd come back from the grave to haunt me. Your boot took your time, mind.
You're less of the old madam. Besides, you're a fine one to talk.
Oh, Pinky, you haven't changed.
Of course I haven't. Not like you, with your airs and graces. Girls' school, indeed. Someone's hovering around you, Lavinia, my love, like a bad smell. Someone not right. Someone with two faces and you're only choosing to see one. I'm right, aren't I, Lavinia?
You mean someone isn't who they say they are?
Precisely.
What is it, Cyril Shah?
There is anger here. Fury. The dark flames of resentment burn brightly in one of you. The spirits can feel it. They fear it.
Nonsense.
Alice, be quiet.
I shall not. I have had just about as much as I can take of this.
A sudden gust of wind blew a window open, snuffing out the candle and plunging the room into darkness.
Alice, close the window.
No! The circle must not be broken.
We can't just sit here in the dark.
Someone light the candle.
Well, how are we supposed to do that with our noses?
This is ridiculous.
Oh.
Ow.
Sorry. I was trying to find the...
What is that?
Somebody at the door. Oh, my God.
What?
Did you see it?
Sergeant, the lights. Miss Harris was slumped back in her chair, her eyes staring sightlessly up at the ceiling, her mouth wide open in a soundless scream.
Is she?
I'm afraid so. Quite dead.
Oh, for heaven's sake, will everyone please stop screaming?
Baroness Pippin's fainted.
Ridiculous woman.
Did Miss Harris die?
Well, it's no way of telling that yet. Heart attack, maybe?
Her time had come. The spirit saw it. I saw it.
Well, you might have had the manners to warn her. Desmond, the window.
Oh, righto.
Someone damn well let me in. I'm getting soaked through out here. I tried the front door, but...
Yes. Miss Jolly, could you find some smelling salts for Baroness Pippin?
She's out cold.
Perhaps you could carry her through to the drawing room, Desmond. We don't want her waking up screaming like a banshee all over again.
All right, hope.
I'll let the American in. Don't you bother lifting a finger, Madam Casey.
Nothing good can come of this evening. Darkness has fallen over the island.
It certainly has.
Come along, Baroness Pippin.
Oh, crumbs, she's heavier than she looks. Would you mind giving me a hand, Sergeant?
Oh, of course. Oopsie daisy.
Now, who was the gentleman at the window?
Well, there's a question. American?
Yes, I gathered that.
Name of Miller. Seems like a real charmer when you meet him, but if you ask me, he's a bit of a shicer. Want to put the Oliver on, if you get my meaning. Your friend, Miss Sixpence, saw right through him from the start when he came up with his grand idea about the girls' school.
What grand idea was that?
He wanted to take the castle back to America with him. Dismantle it brick by brick. Offered the council a small fortune, he did. By all accounts, they were quite tempted. Mr. Hastings, in particular.
Hastings, I know that name.
Found dead in his bath back in February.
Oh, yes, of course, the day after I arrived in the village.
Yeah, but your Miss Sixpence rallied the troops, held a meeting. Everyone cheering. She could have taught Mr. Chamberlain a thing or two. Old Miller walked out of the village hall with his tail between his legs for sure. But I thought he'd gone back to America, but apparently not. Honestly, they think the world's their oyster, that lot, don't they? Oh, my God.
What is it?
Nothing. It's nothing. Let's put her down here, shall we?
Deaf? I... Oh, it's you.
Yes, Mr. Miller, it's me.
Am I permitted to come in, or are you going to organise a village meeting to have me thrown into the ocean?
I'm perfectly capable of throwing you in myself, Mr. Miller, but you might as well come in, as I've gone to the bother of opening the door.
Thank you.
Drenched.
Yes.
And I thought the British were supposed to have manners.
Thank you. Please stop fussing.
Ah, she's awake.
Just this moment.
Where are the others?
The sergeant's gone to find Miss Jolly. Something seems to have upset him.
He hasn't had a drink, has he?
Not that I noticed.
The spirits are enraged in all of us. Ah, there you are, my precious knave of spades.
I won't wait to be introduced.
Oh, no.
What was it that upset the sergeant?
I think it might have been something he saw.
What did he see?
I'm not sure. I think he was looking at the fireplace.
Drone if he tried to take across.
I need to telephone the mainland.
You can't. There isn't a telephone.
Oh, of course there isn't a goddamn telephone.
I shall go and have a word with Mr. Griffin.
He won't help. He's a stubborn old mule. Refuses to even let anyone near his boat, let alone...
He might not help you, Mr. Miller, but I have the advantage of being a local. When I explain the situation to him, I'm sure he'll be only too glad to take me across to the mainland.
What situation, Lavinia?
Your housekeeper's murder, of course.
Murder?
My dear Petunia, you surely didn't suppose she died of natural causes. Myrtle Harris had the heart of an ox.
Oh, my God. Madam Casey?
Yes, my dear.
Oh, but this is perfectly... dreadful.
Right, I shall need an umbrella.
I'm telling you, he will not help.
Mr. Miller, if you showed a little less of your brash American arrogance and a little more humility, you might find that people would be more inclined to treat you with a little respect.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that this is your comeuppance. The chickens have come home to roost, as we country yokels say. And if you find that at the end of the day, you're left alone in this shell of a house with Miss Harris's corpse as your only company, don't say I didn't warn you.
Oh, Lavinia, how horrid.
Umbrella, Petunia. Desmond, perhaps you'd like to ask her ladyship about the fireplace.
Why don't I go down to the boathouse instead, Lavinia? Can't have you getting soaked through now, can we?
You're very kind. A real gentleman, in fact. Unlike others I could mention.
Ah! It's him, isn't it?
Stephen.
It's that damn American. What did he do to you? Jacqueline, tell me. What did he do to you?
What are you talking about? Why would the fireplace have anything to do with it?
That's what I was trying to find out, dear.
But it's not like that. Oh. Madam Casey, tell them.
Our fates are held in the stars. The Queen agrees with me, see?
It's me. I killed her.
What's that?
I killed Harris. We my mind. I can make things happen. I
probably have to think the thought and... Madam Casey.
She speaks the truth. She has the gift as she says.
Tommy Rot.
Ignore the power at your peril.
I don't intend to ignore anything at all. And you, Madam Casey, have been cheating at patience. I must say, I admire your sleight of hand. I don't think I'd have been able to slip in that Queen of Diamonds just now wearing those ridiculous gloves.
Baroness Pippin, I shall retire to my bed now.
Oh, I'm sorry, Madam Casey.
I pity you, Miss Sixpence, to live with such a closed mind. You must be so lonely, so afraid.
Mr. Griffin, might I have a word?
Mr. Griffin? Hello? Is anyone in? Griffin? Oh.
There was a servant girl, years ago. Susan Shanter. I sacked her for being obtuse. Threw her out with nothing but the clothes on her back and the jewellery she'd been given by a gentleman admirer. 2 weeks later, the poor wee girl was found stone cold dead, miles and miles away in the Lake District.
The Lake District?
It was me. I killed her. I was so furious. I imagined her dead. And then it happened. Just like that. I have the gift.
Were you in the Lake District when she died?
No, I've never been to the Lake District.
Well, then you can hardly have killed her, can you? You're just being
ridiculous. I wished her dead. And she died. Just like that man from the council, I wished him dead when he told me they were going to stop paying Griffin to run me to and from the mainland. You were there when I blew my wig at him. 2 days later, he drowned in his bath. And now Harris as well. Only this morning we had the most dreadful row. I actually told her to drop dead.
Oh, for pity's sake, Petunia, pull yourself together. You haven't killed anyone.
Oh, I feel so light-headed.
Of course you do, dear. Your housekeeper has just died all over your Indian padauk. Now then, tell me about this fireplace.
Oh, please, will you stop talking about the fireplace?
Why? Is it important?
He wouldn't stop talking about that wretched thing this afternoon.
Who wouldn't?
That horrid American man.
You mean Mr. Where is he? Where did he go?
Who?
Miller. He was sitting over there by the piano. He's disappeared.
Oh, no. No.
What is it?
Oh, Lavinia, I've done something terrible.
How many times do I have to tell you? You
not did that! Something else.
Oh, Papa. If only you had been a little stronger. If only you could have lasted a little longer. Who's that? Stephen, is that you? What do you want? Keep away from me. Keep away. And now he's going to tear the whole thing down and I shall be homeless.
Over my dead body.
That's what Harris said and now she is.
It's pelting down out there.
Ah, Desmond. Any luck?
I'm afraid not. I couldn't find our friend Mr. Griffin anywhere and his boat's gone as well.
What?
Nowhere to be seen. We're stuck here for the night, I'm afraid.
Never mind. I'm sure that Baroness Pippin has plenty of beds and blankets.
I've no idea where Harris kept the blankets. Lavinia, I'll be utterly lost without her.
We'll sort out the blankets.
Oh, you must keep away from the front bedroom. The floorboards are completely rotten.
We shall do. We'll have to let the others know what's going on. All three of them seem to have wandered off. Now then, Tunia, I think you should go to bed, don't you?
Oh, I couldn't sleep a wink. Not with Harris lying dead in the smoking room.
Have you got a sedative? Or some hot milk at least?
Madam Casey told me I shouldn't drink milk. It would interfere with my purification.
That cauliflower water, you mean? Stuff and nonsense.
There's a sedative in that drawer by the fireplace. Dr. Wibblehurst gave it to me last month when I was suffering from the vapours.
There's a hypodermic needle, but I I don't see...
No, it's a powder. It's in a wee bottle.
Oh, just a minute. Yes, here we are. The Soxin.
Oh, Lord. Don't give her that. She'll be buzzing like a bee. What's that other one?
Verona.
That's it.
Isn't that what poisoned Lady Pluck's dog in February?
Indeed it is. You only need to give her a couple of grains.
Oh!
It's only thunder.
There! At the window!
What? Oh. Stephen? Where?
Couldn't stop myself. Had to go outside.
Oh, he looks as white as a ghost.
Stephen, come here.
Sea's so rough. Wind's so cold.
Stephen? Breathe on me. Stephen. How much?
Not much. Need to apologise. Just saw red.
Perhaps we should go to bed, young man. Perhaps we should all go to bed. If you'd invested in a telephone wire to the mainland when we suggested it, Petunia, we might have called for a lifeboat, but...
Is everyone all right?
Someone obviously didn't know about the rotten floorboards. Really? That woman has the constitution of a moth.
Is he dead?
Yes.
So much for his plans to buy the house.
It was the house that killed him. Ironic.
I don't think so.
Don't you?
No. Look at his neck.
What about it?
Slit from ear to ear. Mr. Miller was dead before he fell through the ceiling.
You have been listening to Shilling and Sixpence Investigate, Episode 3, In the Silent Dead of Night, by Nigel Fairs. It starred Celia Imrie as Lavinia Sixpence and David Warner as Desmond Shilling. Mrs. Levi was played by Louise Jameson. Abby Harris played Baroness Pippin and Jacqueline Jolie. Rebecca Crinian played Madame Casey. And Nigel Fairs was Mr. Miller. Sergeant Salt and Griffin were played by Max Day. And Lisa Bowerman was Miss Harris. It was directed by Samuel Clemens. The sound design and music were by Nigel Fairs and Edward Patrick White. The studio manager was Toby Robinson. Shilling and Sixpence Investigate is produced for Big Finish by Nigel Fairs. The executive producers are Nicholas Briggs, Jason Hay-Gellery, and David Richardson.